Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host from the Jamison family of companies. Thank you so much for being with us. Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. Here with my good friend Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. So if you're out there listening to us today, either on WBT or radio.com or Facebook Live, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So enjoy this show today. We have got a loaded opportunity today. And what we're going to talk about, certainly I'll go through my what I learned this week, and it does involve Preston. But also, Preston's got some myths. Totally unrehearsed. myths about the home inspection, and then you're not going to believe this subject. All right? This is something that's going to be true to everyone's heart. We're going to talk about negotiating repairs.
Oh, boy.
Negotiating repairs.
Man, it was a good day for me to be here.
Well, you might be the origin of some of that, the topic and,
those
and
dang
ways
home
that you work
man,
with. Oh, those
miserable
guys. That's right. What are we going to do? All right. So here's the format. If you're just a first-time listener or you're just hadn't had a pen in the past or wrote it on your dashboard. My producer, George, is here with us. If you want to call in and you can talk about anything you want to talk about related to real estate with us, we welcome it. Lines are open now. 704-570-1110. You can pick up the phone, call us. We will put you on the air with us. Just give George a very short, brief question. He'll pick that up, and we will chat with you live on the radio. 704-570-1110, Real Estate Conversation. And you know, most of y'all call me on Monday and ask me stuff. Feel free to call us today, because if you're thinking it, I'm sure somebody else is too. So lines are open for that. All right. Here's what I learned this week, amongst many things. there's a real lack of understanding about the inspection report.
Yes.
You know, first of all, I think there needs to be some clarity around why you do one. It seems like some of the new agents and buyers really don't understand how to communicate around the home inspection and the expectations that need to be set ahead of time.
Right.
And I think that's probably some of this is in the subject of what you're talking about today.
The myths.
But you have to set clear expectations around what the inspection report is and what it is not.
Exactly.
And that's been one of the most challenging things, because I can control my side,
right?
But
right.
That I can't control the other side.
Personally. Yeah, and there's so many influences too. I mean, everybody's thinking it's a different thing, and you know, there's some shows on HGTV that you know have people believing that it's something else, and I could go off on that, but I don't want to get a letter from a lawyer saying cease and desist. But you know, there's some unrealistic expectations there of what a home inspection is. You
right.
know? But I don't want to get you too far off your thing, but I totally agree.
But it's true. I mean, when I sit down with a seller, I'm going to go, look, the North Carolina contract says as is.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, that's typically not the case.
Yeah. All right? Well, you know, people always ask me, Paul, well, what has to be repaired? Well, Actually, nothing. That's right. Everything is negotiable. Right. I mean, it basically hinges on the fact that you want to sell the house and I want to buy the house.
Yeah.
And people always ask me, I said, you know, there's usually some form of compromise. Everything's different. What the home inspection report's going to be is a picture in time of the condition of that house of already visible areas.
Yes.
They cannot see through walls. They cannot predict the future. And there's going to be a range of stuff.
You can't predict the future?
Nah, darn, if I could, I wouldn't be here. I'd be at the racetrack right now. Love everybody out there. But, you know, it's just a picture in time. We can't predict the future. And then the thing is, when you get that report, there's going to be an array of stuff. Right. And I'm sure you've run into this. And this is where what you're talking about comes into play. You know, if you had 19 offers on this house and, you know, there's a rotten band seal under that house and there's a loose doorknob, you know, maybe don't ask for the loose doorknob, but ask for the rotten band seal.
Oh, okay.
You know,
all right. So
it's just a picture in time of everything. But you could categorize, you know, but every, you know, I can't categorize it for you because there are some things that in your, you know, I would say major, mid, and minor.
Yeah. And in negotiation, we're going to talk about some of that. And all of you realtors that are on Facebook Live, if you could send an amen for that, I would love to see that. But I think you're right, Preston, that the report, here's the next thing, which plays exactly into what you're saying. Your guys don't make the inspection process the obstacle.
No.
Their intent is not to tear the house down. It's to create a representation of the home and a benchmark.
Right. Right.
In
right.
time. Just right. like what you said.
Right. You know, it's just like, you know, if I buy a used car, I'm going to have my mechanic look at it because I don't want to pay for this used car and then next week have to pay for a transmission.
Yep.
Same thing with a house. You don't want to buy that house and then next week have to pay for a furnace.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, no house is perfect. None. Not a new one, not anyone. It's just, like I said, it's a picture in time. Every house has a couple of things, but you've got to be practical and pragmatic about it.
Yeah, you know, so in order to prepare for today, I started thinking about what are some sayings that have to do with negotiation to kind of set the tone today. So here's a couple.
Okay.
All right. Whenever someone insists that he wants to buy something from you but tells you there's no real value in it yet, two things are happening. They're lying, and you're being taken.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at the carny at the fair.
All right. Here's another one. We cannot negotiate with people who say what's mine is mine and what's yours is negotiable.
Was this from divorce? Is that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. That is. What was?
George!
Oh, George! That was
not George.
That was George.
That was George.
He's over here. Yeah. He's over here. All right. And then here's one: when both sides are a little bit unhappy, you're probably where things should end up.
Oh God! What's that one I always heard? It's like at some point the next person who talks loses. Have you ever heard?
Yeah,
that?
I've heard that too. Yeah. So in a talk show, though, we don't want to be quiet the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so, we're right. paying for this airtime.
Right. Right. So, you know, we're trusting in the human condition. It's about appreciating what the other person is saying and keeping a level head, right?
Right.
So here's an interesting scenario that happened to me this week.
Okay.
All right. I believe it was a first-time home buyer on the other side. I think if I'd have known, we might not have taken their offer to begin with. But right. let's just say I represented the seller, had another agent representing the buyer.
Okay.
All right.
Well, is Home Inspection Carolina involved in this deal at all?
Zero.
Okay, I can talk.
Okay, good. All right. So, and I'm not going to tell you who the inspection company was,
yeah. Don't.
Okay, I'm not going
to. We'll get another sissy.
Yeah, that's right. You get a sissy letter on it. Okay. So we appraised.
Right.
Yay.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Good.
Good news.
That sometimes is a hurt.
They did their inspections. Yay. Okay.
Within the time frame
right?
and everything.
And they sent the inspection report. And they said, we want everything in the inspection report fixed. This is a 1983 house. 1983!
Let me ask this. Was there a lot of interest in this house and a lot of people, you know?
See?
Yeah.
There was.
See, okay? You could do that. You might could get away with that in a a seller. I mean, a buyer's market, but not a seller's market.
Right. Well, I have a little bit of a strategy sometimes.
Okay.
A lot of times when an offer is written, and when we put a home on the market, there are certain things that I hold aside, like appliances, lawnmowers, items. Because a lot of times you'll see from the initial offer, they'll throw in a bunch of stuff. I do not let my offers come with a lot of personal items initially.
Right.
I save those personal items and the interest in those personal items as a part of the negotiation for repairs. And in this particular case, we had a lawnmower, a very nice riding lawnmower. And I don't know who the person is that's buying the house, but if you didn't have a riding lawnmower, your butt's going to be out there a long time pushing that mower.
Big yard.
Right?
Big
so yard. We gave them a choice. Either $1,000or the mower.
Was it a John Deere?
No, it was a Cub Cadet.
Those are good. Those are good.
But it was a very expensive lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Even though it was used, it was worth way more than $1,000.
Yeah, I agree. I know that mower. Yes, right? You're correct.
And after some very confusing exchanges, they chose $1,000 and a $200 used refrigerator over a mower that originally cost $4,000, probably worth $3,000.
Wow.
So my guy's going to sell the mower for probably $3,000.
Yeah.
And I shake my head and I go, sometimes the stuff doesn't make any sense, but you never know 100% what's driving people, right?
Yeah, you never know what people
think. They're not driving the mower.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
That's what Paul's really good at, is figuring out what it is that, in a negotiation, what each side wants. I've seen it happen multiple times, and sometimes it's not what you would think, but you just got to get to the bottom of it.
Ask the questions.
Right.
And you know what? I know where the other agent's position is, and I'm very empathetic, and I'll say, hey, you're busting your butt to try to make this deal happen, and I know some of this conversation is out of your control.
Right.
To the other agent. Some of it is, some of it isn't.
Right.
But, you know, hey, let's figure it out. Where are the hot buttons? You know, where are the gives, and how can we work it out together? And that's my point, is if you go with a heart of collaboration and fairness, you can go a long way. So we've got myths to talk about related to inspections and negotiating repairs, and the lines are open, 704-570-1110. The show, Your Real Estate Today. Stay with us. It's going to be awesome. We'll be right back on News 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Welcome back.
You want to fix that, Preston?
I'll fix it.
The show, Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for tuning in with us. We're live, obviously. We're glad that you're with us today. Yeah, we're running Facebook Live, radio.com, and live on the air today. The show, Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. If you're just tuning in, the show's about real estate. And you're welcome to call in. The lines are open, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. If you have a real estate question, investment question, Preston is here as a home inspector. You can chat with him about some things that may have come up for you. So feel free to do that. And we're talking today about myths about home inspections, Preston.
Yeah, absolutely. Nine myths.
Nine.
I don't know if we'll get all nine.
So what do you think is the big one? Big number one.
Number one is the home inspection is the same thing as an appraisal. And it's not. There are some similar things about it. But, you know, an appraisal is to determine the value of the house, and it's the lender who wants to know that. Because the lender wants to know, you know, is the house worth the loan that they're going to put out there in the event that they should have to take it over. Now, a home inspection is different. We're just looking for the safety and the habitability of it, the condition of things. And sometimes that plays into the value, but there's so many other things that go into the value, the neighborhood, the school system, you know, the zoning. And that's way beyond what a home inspection is. You know, you need to get an appraisal by, you know, a licensed appraiser. And a real estate agent can tell you a lot because they can pull up comps in the neighborhood, you know, that can give you a lot better idea. But a home inspection, is, you know, is not an inspection for the value of the home. It's an inspection for the safety or, you know, mechanical structural defects.
Right. I think the other thing that has been a little bit more of a challenge lately is around FHA and VA loans.
Right.
Sometimes the appraiser acts a little bit like a home inspector and is required now to do a few more things that they weren't normally required to do.
Right.
As it relates to the diligence around the home.
Right.
I wish they wouldn't, because I don't think they really know.
Right.
But, but I understand their position. The bank's asking them to do it.
Well, and certainly the condition of the home can affect the value.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But, you know, you can have a house, you know, I don't want to pick on any particular area, but, you know, out in a rural area where I live, if you pick that same house up and, you know, you put it in Dilworth or you put it on a lakefront, it's automatically because of the neighbor, same house, same furnace, same roof. Home inspector's not going to be able to tell you that. They're just going to tell you the condition of the roof and the furnace.
That's right. That's right. And I think it's important to understand the difference and understand that they're two very, very distinct things, but yet.
I know. Oh, I get introduced all the time in friends like, hey, this is Preston. He does appraisals. Like, no, I don't. I'm a home inspector. It's a totally different thing, but, you know. Yeah.
So does the home inspector advise you whether or not you should run?
See, that's myth number two. Does a home inspector, I get that question all the time. Would you buy this house, yes or no? And my answer may be different than your answer, Paul. I mean, and my answer is going to be different than that buyer's answer. I mean, I do feel like most houses can be fixed, but everybody has different thresholds of what they're, you know, allowing to do. And it also plays into the appraisal. You know, I don't know what the school system is around here. You're going to talk to your realtor about that. I don't know.
Well, they're not going to tell you either. They're going to tell you to go to a website and examine it.
Right.
They might tell you the schools, but they're not going to tell you anything else about
it. And, you know, I don't know what the houses sell for in this neighborhood.
Right.
You know, all I can do is tell you the condition of the roof, the furnace. I can't tell you if that's falling within, you know, are you overpaying or underpaying? That's not something that I can tell you. What I can tell you is if you could find out what the market value is and then add up, you know, the cost of the repairs to get you to where you need to be, then if you're still under that, I'd probably buy it, but that's just me. You may have some weird threshold like a lawnmower or something that you're, you know.
We're going to be talking about that lawnmower.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just using logic.
Yeah, and I think that is, you know, when a lot of times I will ask the home inspector when there is something that comes up, I will ask them, so how do you think what do you think would be a good strategy to repair this issue, or who do you think would be good people to help us evaluate this issue?
Right. Well, and one thing Paul does that's really good is if the seller maybe doesn't have money or whatever to do the repairs, he'll go ahead and go out and get the estimates or something like that. I know you did that with a countertop because they didn't have money to – well, that wasn't really a repair, but they wanted to you know, to sell a house in that neighborhood. They really
But even for repairs, too, a lot of people don't have the money to do repairs.
But he goes ahead and, you know, puts a bow on it and says, here's what, you know, the estimate is to fix that. You know, just tries to – you know, all deals can work. But, you know, I will say this, too, about market value. You know how Facebook, everybody leads their best life ever, you know, we're 2.5 kids and everything's perfect. And we know under the hood, everybody's got some crazy in their family. They got some kids that, you know.
Oh, I've never met a functional family.
Struggles in school.
Before,
yeah. I mean, everybody's got stuff.
Except George.
Some people just hide it more than others, you know, are better at hiding it, you know. Yeah. It's the same thing with a house. There is no perfect house. We always look at that other house like, oh, that one's perfect. Well, I bet you if you looked under the hood, I might, I can find some stuff. But having said that, there's no perfect house. But there's a lot of good houses.
They are. And there's a lot of houses that have opportunity.
Right.
You know, I think so. I think that's really cool. All right. So what about the fact that it doesn't matter? All inspectors are the same, right? Just like all realtors, right?
Oh, yeah, just like all cars, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you don't need that Range Rover. You could just have a Malibu.
Yeah. But
you understand what I'm saying. There's different levels. You know, and all home inspectors are licensed, right?
Right.
Just like all realtors are licensed. should it matter which realtor you get?
Oh, gosh, yes.
They all passed their test, Paul. They're all
realtors. Yes, they did. Sometimes it took some a few more times than others, but yes.
Same thing with home inspectors. Right. I mean, that's the minimum standards to get into the profession of real estate or home inspection. Mm-hmm. But to go beyond that and get more professional education, lots of experience, you know, a guy like Paul has been through some battles and, you know, you've learned things over the years. You know, check out the organizations they're in. In home inspection, there's two. There's InterNACHI and there's ASHI. And there's they require more education.
You're pretty active in those organizations.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of like with real estate agents, there's more designations than just being a realtor. And there's more standards they have to, you know, adhere to, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
Look at the reviews. And you know what? Ask around. Ask people, you know. I mean, you couldn't be in business as long as Paul has and do people wrong.
Same with you, Preston. You have a great reputation. That's why we use you for all our home inspections.
Well, thank you.
And your team does a great job. And
thanks.
And we like the way that things are communicated. I think that's the big deal, right?
Right, right.
We're talking about negotiation. We're talking about myths. Doesn't it boil down to communication in the end?
Yeah, yeah. And I you could almost say that most fender benders in negotiation, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, obviously, if you really look, it boils down to something wasn't communicated properly. And that's what we try to do. You know, we actually role play with our inspectors on
do
how to
you,
present
really?
The information.
I didn't know that.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, they're asking this, but they're really asking something else. And to see the question within the question, I mean, even if they don't realize it, you know, that you got to see some of the deeper questions. And like you said, what's important to this person? You know, if that person's moving from the beach area, you know, hurricane strapping, things like that, if somebody's moving from Florida, you know, the termites, you know, going to be a big deal to them because that's a big deal there.
Sure.
Somebody moving from Wisconsin is going to have to be educated.
Sure.
On termites.
Or something that may have happened to them in the past that you had no idea about.
Right. Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
And that's a big deal to them.
Like
a lawnmower.
Like they got run over by one and they're scared of them and they didn't want one. So they'd rather have a $200 fridge.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
It all goes back to the lawnmower.
Well, yeah.
Is the guy, is he listening?
Yeah. Well, we've got a hard break. We'll be right back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Preston Sandlin, Home Inspection Carolina, myself, Paul Jamison. We're having a big time. Stay with us. We'll be right back on News 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Thanks for being with us. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. From the Jamison family of companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments, here with Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. Yes, it's rainy, but yes, we're live. George is here, too, working the boards for us. Thank you, George. If you want to call in and have a question, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, but I'd rather you keep your hands on the wheel and be safe if you're driving. And not crash. That would be positive. But you're more than welcome to call, and we will put you on the air and help you with any question related to real estate that you would like to ask. So, Preston, we were talking about negotiating repairs,
right?
And the myths involved with those. The interesting thing was that I think in a home inspection, there is an expectation that you will uncover every single thing. And by the way, I forgot to give the number, or maybe I did, 704-570-1110. Hey, Derek, how you doing? What do you say there? Isn't that a reasonable expectation that you won't find everything? I don't have a problem with that one.
Sometimes, you know, I forget.
I think that's a good one.
I forget my crystal ball and those.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What were those glasses that you used to could see through, you know, that sort of thing? You know, it's just a picture in time of readily accessible areas. You know, we can't see through walls. We can't predict the future. And I hate to say this. You know, some of these shows, now here comes the cease and desist letter, have promulgated this myth. And, you know, I actually have a friend that, you know, a home inspector that has some inside knowledge of some of those shows. You know, it's that deal where, you know, they rip up the whole kitchen because there was a leaky faucet behind the wall.
Right, and the full kitchen remodel with Class A appliances is like $8,000.
Yeah. All right, so hold that thought for a second.
Okay, holding.
So what happens is, you know, I was thinking about doing a reality home inspection show, and I got to checking in. You know how much it costs to get a film crew out to do it one episode? A lot. And you know what's compelling TV is drama. You have to have guaranteed drama because you can't afford for those guys to come out every day until something dramatic happens. So we have to know something dramatic is going to happen. So sometimes people are remodeling their kitchen anyway, in your example, and they're like, all right, they're going to remodel it anyway. Let's see if we can find something that could cause that on the inspection report.
Bring in danger.
Yeah, we can manufacture some drama. Right. I mean, think about it. Honestly, I mean, I love what you do. I love what I do. And there is drama. But most days there is, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Could you afford to pay $24,000 a day for film crew to follow you around on the off chance that there might be drama that one day?
Well, when it comes to the property management company, better chance that there's some more drama because I'm dealing with tenants. I get the point.
My inside story on that was the people were planning to remodel something anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I mean? So, but this creates unrealistic expectations that, you know, we can see behind that kitchen cabinet.
That's true. You can't? I get it, Preston. All right. Buyers don't belong at the home inspection. That's a biggie.
Yeah, no, we recommend that the buyers come.
Please.
You know, they may not want to come for the entire inspection, but at least come for the end of it in the recap. Because, you know, we're going to explain the inspection report, go through the pictures on our computer. And at this point, they have the opportunity to ask us questions. The inspector is also going to show you where all your cutoffs are, your water, your electrical. You know, just a lot of good home maintenance stuff and give you some tips. Just a lot more. You know, you talked about that communication. There's a lot better communication and less chance of a callback or misunderstanding down the road when they come to the inspection.
Well, case in point. I mean, have you ever read an email, Preston, and the intent of the email is very different than what the person who wrote it?
Right. Yeah, because as I'm typing it, I'm smiling, making a joke, thinking I'm clever, saying a sarcastic little joke. But then you read it, and you're like, what? What the heck is he saying? How dare he? He didn't realize I was joking. You know?
Do you think a home inspection could be misinterpreted?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's why I love it when buyers go, is because then they can ask questions, they can get some communication around that inspection and get clarity. I think it makes a big difference.
An overwhelming majority of problems, or not that we have a bunch, but when they are, overwhelming majority of them, the buyer did not come to the inspection. And I really think if they would have came there.
Wow.
It would have, and you know, a lot of times too, you know, you get this call back, you know, that you missed something or whatever, and we go back, it was on the inspection report. And they weren't at the inspection, you know, they probably got the report and they had to sign all these other papers and just they were overwhelmed and they probably didn't read it. And I think if they would have been there at the inspection and saw the picture and heard the inspector tell them, I think it probably wouldn't have gotten to this, you know?
Yeah, boy, that's the truth, man. That's for sure. All right. So, I can't believe you put that in there. Brand new homes don't need an inspection. How many times have I talked about that?
You
put that one in there.
There's a myth. Yeah, it's brand new. It doesn't need to be inspected. I'll just give you a quick story. Brand new house. I crawl under the house, under the bathroom there, and I'm looking up. And I can see the bottom of the bathtub, and I see where the drain is, and I can look up and see the light. I'm like,
wait a minute, how's that possible?
And I'm like, hey, Paul, turn the water on. Right on my face. They never connected the tub. It was a brand new house. I mean, the thing with a brand new house is, you know, in a long time ago, you go way, way back, a builder built everything from start to scratch. Now, I mean, it's basically a number of subcontractors and somebody managing those subcontractors.
Right.
And you have different levels of subcontractors and skill sets, and you know, and you also have different, you know, guys in charge of them. You know, sometimes things get missed, corners get cut, and you know, everybody is working for the builder. You need somebody who's your advocate checking it out for you.
Yeah, All right. As a matter of fact, you must know Barbara, because here she comes with a great question. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
I'm well. How about you, sir?
I'm fine. Are you staying dry?
I'm trying. I'm driving through a storm here.
Oh. All right. Well, keep both hands on the wheel. So what's your question?
My question is, does it benefit the realtor to use their inspector instead of the seller using their own? I had a bad experience when I sold my house. So that's my question. I mean, when I bought my house, I'm sorry.
So what I think Barbara's saying is, you know, that she wonders if it's better for the buyer to choose the inspector. Is that what you're saying, Barbara?
Well, the realtor.
Okay.
I used the inspector that the realtor referred me to,
mm-hmm.
but obviously she's trying to sell my house.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Now, was the realtor, was she the listing agent on the house as well, or she was just your buyer's agent?
I'm sorry. She was the lister.
Ah, well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I understand the question now a little bit better. Well, two things. I recommend, honestly, that the both people get an inspection.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I think that the seller should get an inspection to find out if there's anything major wrong with the house
right.
that could cause a potential blow-up on the back end. But then I think the buyer should also get their own inspector, number one, because they have a fiduciary duty to them. And number two, things can happen between the time that, you know, mechanical things
That's right.
that could have been fine last week and the air conditioner not worked this week. And, you know, quite frankly, I think four eyes are better than two. I'm not sure that came out quite right. But I definitely recommend the buyer get their own inspector. Now, I know a lot of times they ask the realtor for advice. And I know that could also be a question. Should I go with the one the realtor refers or should I find one myself? I would ask for the realtor's opinion on who they like and then go check that person out online, the reviews. You know, call them, ask them if they can send you a sample report, ask them if they can give you some references, that sort of thing. And if that doesn't come out satisfactory, you know, I would ask around to friends. You could put it out on social media. You know, who do you recommend, you know, for an inspector? I mean, nowadays, thank goodness, because of social media, there's good and bad. But that's one of the great things now about social media. You can just throw a question like that out there and you'll get the good, bad and the ugly.
Yeah. Nextdoor, you see a lot of that going on in the Nextdoor websites.
This was prior to social media. And I would like to add that it was a house that had an association fee. So what I failed on was the association inspection 6 months later after I bought the house.
Oh, jeez.
So sorry.
That's got to be frustrating, Barbara, for sure. But we appreciate the question. Now stay safe and stay dry, and thanks for calling us.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
All right, take care. 704-570-1110. The show, Your Real Estate Today. My gosh, we're moving so quick. We'll be right back with more Your Real Estate Today. Jameson, News Talk 1110, WBT. Stay right with us. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Thank you so much for sharing your Saturday with us. We're live today. I'm Paul Jameson, your host, with Preston Sandlin from Home Inspection Carolina. We're here today sharing information, talking about home inspections, and also talking about repairs around that. And hold on, Carolyn. We'll put you on here in just a second. George is moving things back and forth on the phones, but we'll put you on. We'd love to hear what you have to say. You know, I want to go through a few things about when the report comes back and you begin to discuss repairs a little bit.
Right.
If I can't communicate anything else to you all, if I absolutely, at the end of the day, you walk away, oh, we lost Carolyn, but that's okay. Call back if you want. If you walk away and don't remember anything we talked about, here's what I want you to remember. It's always better to ask the seller for a credit. Don't ask the seller to fix stuff. You know, they might not do it the way you want it done. They might try to do it themselves. There's so many different things that could go wrong in that.
Well, can I add something with that?
Yeah.
if you ask the seller to fix it, they had their handyman or whatever, their guy fix it. And now if the thing breaks down, say air conditioner, after the fact, you didn't ever do it. I mean, you weren't the one. You have no recourse. But if you are the one who paid the guy, you are the one. You can call.
Absolutely.
You have more control
do.
Of that. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I think that's absolutely right. Hang on, Jim. We'll get right to you. But the HVAC is typically one we ask the seller to fix so that if you're getting a home warranty, you've got a benchmark in the beginning.
That makes sense.
But we also want to make sure they guarantee their work.
Right.
And then also broken window seals. It's pretty easy. You can call a glass doctor. They can come out. But even so, at least you know what they cost, and you can ask for a credit for that. All right, Jim, before we move on, let's take you. Thank you for calling. How are you?
Good. Hope you're well.
All right. How can I help you?
Well, first let me say I met with one of your agents with a what-if meeting, and he was prepared in a superior fashion. I had a real good experience.
Thank you, Jim.
But my question is, I inherited a condo, and as best we can tell, there's no lease. The tenant has been paying rent, but we want to sell it. So how much time does it require without a lease to evict a current tenant?
That's a great question, Jim. First of all, here's my disclaimer. I'm not an attorney. Please consult an attorney for more information, but I had a good night's sleep last night.
At Holiday Inn Express.
Okay, at a Holiday Inn Express. That's right. That's what's called an oral lease, and according to the law, it's a 30-day notification period.
30, okay.
But, here was what I would recommend, okay, to you. I would recommend that you call the tenant and say, here are what my rights are. However, I'm willing to do what's called cash for keys.
Yeah.
Cash for keys, Jim, is a great thing. What you do is you say when they're completely out of the house and the house is clean, you offer them a concession. I'll use a random number of $500. That's about what it costs to move, sort of.
Right?
And then You have them sign a little release. I release Jim from any obligation related to XYZ address, XYZ, and release any rights to the home and sign
it. True.
You hand them $500. Now, they got to be completely out. Don't give them the money until they're out and they hand you the keys and all their stuff is
clean.
Out.
No,
and it's
no clean. Holes in the wall or anything like that.
And it's to your satisfaction. It works.
It passes the inspection after they're out.
That's right. And it really works, Jim. It really does.
Okay.
It's called cash for keys.
Good because we're not kicking them out because they're bad. We're just kicking them out because they're not supposed to. We don't want them to be there.
you want to sell. And it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right, friend.
Okay.
Thanks for reaching out.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. So, negotiating repairs, we talked about, always ask for a credit. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. And then think about the big picture. If you're going to remodel the bathroom anyway, don't ask them to fix the linoleum in the bathroom.
Right.
You know? And here's how I handle that situation if I'm negotiating with the other side or talking through the repairs. You know what? We're not planning. We found some issues in the bathroom. Here's what they are. But you know what? We're going to get this bathroom anyway. So even though we have a right to ask for these things, here's what we would rather ask for instead.
Right. That
makes
reminds
sense?
Me. I used to have an old junk car in college, and every time somebody would hit it, I got insurance money, but I didn't repair it because it was an old junker, but I was entitled to get it fixed.
Yeah.
I just elected not to because it was a clunker. Not saying your house is a clunker, but.
All right. So here's another one. This happens a lot. The opportunity and the when you're buying a home, it's exciting. Right?
Yeah.
To the buyer. They want to bring in their designer. They want to get estimates for the changes they want to make. They want to come in and get carpet quotes, flooring quotes, paint quotes, remodel quotes, measure for their furniture. Right? Don't do that until the repair negotiation has happened. Because the more you do that, the more the seller knows you've lost an advantage.
Yeah, they're emotionally invested. Yeah. It's like
and
when you go to the car lot. Don't act like you like it. Even if you do, don't act like it. We're not going to get a good deal.
Yeah, it's important. And I finally said to a client the other day, I was just like, you know, I know you want to come in and have, you know, put in new carpet, but let's just wait. I think it makes a big difference, all right? As I said earlier, emotions are involved. Also, don't, as the buyer come in and say, like I said earlier in one of my sayings, you know, the house is just, you know, a mess. Everything is wrong. Everything is backward. And you begin the negotiation process by just tearing it up and being in kind of a not a nice person.
Yeah. Right?
That doesn't set a real good tone. Focus on the issue, not beat things up. All right. Next, you brought this up earlier, Preston. Focus on what matters. Remember you talked about the band seal issue?
Right.
That's where the report plays. Don't talk about cosmetics. Don't talk about sheetrock tape in a 36-year-old house.
Yeah, I try to divide it up into three categories. You know, major stuff, kind of medium stuff, and then minor stuff.
Right.
And make sure you're putting it in the right bucket.
Right. So here's a good way to think about this, Preston. There's something called material fact. Material fact is a fact that relates to it material and adversely affects the value of the house.
Which
means, your major. Which means whether you sell the house to these people or not, you got to tell any other buyer that comes through the door that we got a problem. And here's what it is.
Right.
And you're going to have to fix it anyway.
Right.
Or tell everybody about it.
Right.
Okay?
And
focus on that.
Yeah, and then my medium bucket would kind of be stuff I would like to get,
yes,
but you know, I don't think it's worth the deal going south over if I don't get it.
Right.
And the minor stuff is just going to tick people off.
That is exactly right.
Do we really want to tick them off, you know?
Yeah. Here's another interesting philosophy that I share with buyers all the time when they look at it. They go, well, you know, I'm going to have to remodel this bathroom. I'm going to have to put granite countertops on it. I'm going to have to. After we've already negotiated around these same things, mm-hmm, you can't sell a house to somebody and remodel it too.
Right.
You got to kind of go, okay, here are the criteria that we came to. Focus on the issues, not the fact that you want the seller to not only sell it to you, but also make all your personal changes.
Right.
There has to be a balance between those two things, all right? And then the repair credit. The repair credit, this is interesting. This happened to me more than once. If you are representing the buyer and you ask for a repair credit and you don't talk to your lender first, you may be asking for and receive a concession for more money than you're allowed to get.
Oh, wow.
And so we get to the closing table, and we've negotiated a $6,000 concession, but there's only a $4,000 limit. Guess what? The seller's going to be happy because they just made an extra $2,000.
Wow.
It has happened before. You check with your lender before you negotiate and make sure you can utilize the credit you're asking for. Because you want to have the flexibility to use the remainder of the credit to take it off the purchase price or somewhere else. You don't want it to go to waste.
Right.
But I've seen it happen. That's an experience thing. Don't let it happen to you.
Right.
Okay. So watch out for that repair credit. So here's something. Oh, gosh, we got to go. Preston, how can they get in touch with you to do an inspection? We're having fun.
HomeInspectionCarolina.com or 704-542-6575.
This happens every time. Can't we just extend the show? Have after the show?
Yeah, we'll put it on the podcast or something.
Gosh. Well, I'll save some of this stuff. I got a whole bunch more. We'll do it in another show. But if you want to call us at Jameson, it's 846-DUNN, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. The book will be up in the next couple of weeks. You can pre-order at pauljameson.com, so we hope you do. God bless.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Opportunity is Knocking.
Nice.
Take care. God bless y'all. We'll see you next
Monday. It's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench.
Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.